Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. A quick program note before we get rolling. Today is a USDA report day with crop production and WASDE reports due out this morning at 11. We'll have special coverage of those reports this afternoon at 12:40 with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The Taiwan Flour Millers Association today issued a tender seeking two cargoes totaling just over 101,000 metric tons of U.S. wheat. The tender closes on Thursday. Taiwan relies on the U.S. for more than 75% of its wheat imports. Private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 713,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. Also, 140,000 tons of soybeans sold to unknown destinations for 2013-14, and 252,153 tons of corn sold to Mexico for the 2013-14 marketing year. Cargill Incorporated's fiscal fourth quarter earnings soared on strength in its grain handling and food ingredients businesses. The privately held company reported fourth quarter earnings of $483 million in the quarter that ended on May 31st. That's up from $73 million 1 year ago. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,355. It's down 20 points. The NASDAQ 3117 is up almost 4, and the S&P 500 is 1683, and it is down 3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest will likely encounter less precipitation this week, even though we do have opportunity. Most of the U.S. Midwest will likely encounter less precipitation this week, even though we do have opportunities for some showers to come and go. One of the primary reasons why we won't see as much precipitation is that there's a stationary frontal boundary that is going to be deep into the southern states, and as long as it remains down there, it will act as a block as far as allowing tropical moisture to work its way northward across the region. In addition to that, there's a tropical wave that will be forming in the Caribbean Sea as we go forward through the next couple of days, and it will be a fast-moving event that will race through the entire Caribbean Sea from southeast to northwest and will eventually reach the Gulf of Mexico as we get into the middle part of this week. As the system starts to approach the U.S., it will further inhibit the amount of moisture that can flow northward into the middle of the country. There's going to be two factors involved here. Number one is the stationary frontal system along the Gulf Coast. Number two is the approaching tropical wave. And number three, actually, will be a high-pressure system. It'll be settled over the heart of the Midwest during these few days. As we move on into the Thursday-Friday period, this time we'll likely see that tropical wave merge in with the frontal boundary over the southern United States. As the two systems begin to merge, rainfall will be enhanced, and we'll likely see a lot of thunderstorm activity throughout the southeastern corner of the country. This will stay out of the Midwest unless something significantly different changes in the atmosphere to allow for this tropical system to move further into the heart of the Midwest, which at this point in time seems a bit unlikely. The storm system and the frontal boundary will likely continue to work their way through the southeastern states on Saturday and Sunday, eventually pushing through a part of the New England states and on out to sea shortly thereafter. And it's not until sometime next week that we'll likely have an improved opportunity for rain and thunderstorms to occur across the Midwest when the Gulf of Mexico again opens up as a moisture source and storm systems from upstream or in the western United States will have a chance to move from west to east across the nation and bring us another chance for rain. So this will likely occur during the middle to latter part of next week that we'll likely see showers and thunderstorms occur again across the region. Now, I certainly don't want to imply there will be no precipitation at all across the region. We have a weak frontal boundary that will produce a handful of showers across the region today. Moisture totals will run a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a quarter of an inch, with some localized amounts to a half inch. Most of this precipitation will occur from Missouri into portions of Michigan and Ohio. As we move on out into the day tomorrow, that surface high pressure system will settle into the heart of the Midwest, and we won't see much opportunity for rain again in the region until perhaps sometime on Thursday or Friday, when a weak low pressure center over South Dakota and parts of Nebraska will generate a few showers in the western fringes of the Corn Belt. But we don't even expect that system to hold together very well, because the high pressure system over the heart of the Midwest will be nearly stationary until the tropical event passes off to the east. So our next opportunity for rain will probably hold off until sometime early next week. Our temperatures are going to be cooler biased for the next few days. We'll likely see highs occurring mostly in the 70s and lower 80s across a big part of the Midwest. As we move on out into the latter half of this week and into the weekend, that high pressure system will help to build temperatures up in the western portions of the Midwest and Corn Belt. We'll likely see temperatures on the west side of the Mississippi River getting back into the 80s and perhaps near 90 degrees over the course of the weekend. Some of that warmth will work its way into the eastern Midwest, but not until early to midweek next week. Our low temperatures these next few nights are expected to fall back mostly into the 50s and lower 60s. We'll have a few upper 40s, though, scattering across the Great Lakes region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter wheat, December, 705 and a half up 2. Soft wheat for December at 644 and a half down 2 and 3 quarters, now 2 and a half. September corn, 461 and a quarter, down 4 and a half. December, 451 and 3 quarters, down 1 and a half, now 1 and a quarter. August soybeans, 1346 and a half, up 5 and 3 quarters. September, 1232, up 13 and a half. And November, 1197 and a quarter, up 15. August soybean meal at 424.30 is up 380. September, 396.30, up 570. August soybean oil, 41.73 up 33, and September at 41.71 up 21. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Chip.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
So the question I have for you is, given the steep decline that we have seen thus far this summer in corn, how much has been wrung out of it via a surprise factor for today's reports?
Well, from this stage and lower, you have to ask yourself, how can it be super bearish from this stage? You know, after a 70, 80 cent drop in corn futures, markets expecting, a bushel to bushel and a half increase in corn yield. So I'd say a lot of that is built in. It doesn't mean we stop going down, but I think from this stage and lower, it would be awful hard to have a wildly bullish report this morning from the USDA on the corn side of the equation.
Of course, on the soybean side of the equation, we're getting USDA's updated acreage survey. Seems like the trade is all over the board on this.
They really are. I think that, if of anything, probably holds the biggest potential powder keg of a surprise is this bean acreage resurvey. A lot of people, and I think even the average estimate is for a small decrease in bean acres. Now, based on, again, this is not scientific, but based on a lot of producers we've talked to since, mid to late May, I wouldn't be shocked to see a fairly significant increase in bean acres. So that, in my opinion, if there's any shock at all, it could be from this bean acreage resurvey that they released this morning.
It also could be very bearish for corn. I suppose the one, if we don't look at U.S., but we turn our attention to international and Brazil and other nations who are putting in bigger crops, that could be bullish. You could see a 4 to 7 million metric ton increase in this report, foreign corn.
Yeah, and I think some of that's built in as well. That's not a shock that, Ukraine has bounced back. Russia, obviously you mentioned Brazil. China's still a wild card. You know, they've had some extreme weather over there as well. And so their crop size is always a wild card. But I think the corn market in large part has, you know, factored in, maybe not completely, but certainly increasing world production on corn and wheat, for that matter, wouldn't be a huge shock to the market this morning.
Speaking of wheat, what are your anticipations from the report today?
Well, wheat's been kind of stuck in follower mode here. You know, really, I think wheat was trying to bottom, but couldn't, just in the face of corn dropping so hard over the last 3 or 4 weeks. As always this time of year, it seems like the wheat numbers will be kind of, you know, secondhand here, taking a back seat. I think wheat is a little bit different in the fact that we're starting to do some good business in wheat. We're pretty well valued versus other sources of wheat in the world. So, I think any bounce that you see probably could be led by wheat. If you take some of the pressure off of the corn and the bean market here, the wheat market could be our leader to the upside if there is any type of a bounce today across the grain sector.
Thank you, Chip.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. A quick look at the marketplace. September corn, 460 3/4, is down 5. December, 451 1/2, down 1 3/4. August beans, 1348 1/4, up 7 1/2. And November, 1197 1/2, up 15 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.